prove a way of no return. From seven wonders of the world to the summit of Kilimanjaro. From the statue of Nelson Mandela to the African Renaissance Monument. We break all the boundaries. From the greatest archives of Timbuktu to the deepest oceans and rivers of Africa, we reveal the mysteries. We're asking life's biggest questions. We rule the world of esoteric knowledge. From ancient Egypt to fourth industrial revolution. Ladies and gentlemen, Masterclass Africa, Sir Mex,
the knowledge premier.
Consciousness is in essence the realization by the black man of the need to rally together with his brothers around the cause of their operation, the blackness of their skin, and to operate as a group in order to rid themselves of the shackles that bind them to perpetual servitude. It seeks to demonstrate the lie that black is the aberration of the normal, which is white. It is the manifestation of a new realization that by seeking to run away from themselves and to emulate the white man, blacks are insulting the intelligence of whoever created them black. Black consciousness, therefore, takes cognizance of the deliberateness of God's plan in creating black people black. It seeks to infuse the black community with a newfound pride in themselves, their efforts, their value systems, their culture, their religion, and their outlook to life. These are the words of Stephen Bantu Biko in his book, I Write What I Like. This is how we welcome you to another and the final episode of Masterclass Africa here on Channel Africa. We are on DSTV 802 and on www.channelafrica.co.za. We are interactive on all our social media platforms, on Twitter at Channel Africa One, Facebook Channel Africa One, YouTube and Instagram. It is Channel Africa Radio. Therefore, we're inviting you to connect with us. We're sending a big ball of energy throughout the African continent, love and light to everyone who is actually part of this conversation. As we have been doing for the past 3 years, even today, we are trotting the globe to bring you some of Africa's top thinkers. And I'm so excited that he gets to join us on the show today. He has been a friend of the show, if I may say that. I mean, we have enjoyed picking up his brains and sipping from his cup of wisdoms. A senior researcher at University of South Africa, Advocate Sipho Mantula, is on Masterclass Africa. Mo Africa, welcome to the show.
Africa, asante sana ra leboga, enkosi, jambo Africa to all the listeners of Channel Africa Masterclass. It might be the end of the show, but this is the beginning of the road. They say no matter the night might be long, the day and the sun will still rise.
We give thanks, Mafrika. I mean, wise words from a wise man. What can we say if those utterances come from you, Mafrika? Let's just get straight to it, Mafrika. I mean, South Africa is rounding off a month that it has termed Youth Month. I mean, remembering back, you know, what happened over 40 years back. But as we round it off, Mafrika, there's also questions around this beautiful continent, the motherland, to say, what about the youth of Africa? Does the plight of youth in South Africa a representation of also what is happening throughout the African continent? Just in South Africa, this I can tell you, nothing much has been done. I mean, there's a lot of complaints, high unemployment rates going up, you know, so much young people are facing. But what about the youth of Africa?
Africa, a very important debate, discussion on the plight and one can say it is the plight and the flight that the youth must undertake, because in the African continent, the day of an African child, 16 June 1976, it is commemorated across the motherland, in the continent, in the AU, having crisscrossed the Addis Ababa during this period of June whenever this day comes, CEMEX will always bow and remember the youth of 76, the surviving Bani Mokhatle, who is the son of the province from Northwest, Rustenburg. Those are the thinking that even in the Day of an African Child, every year we are always looking back, what are those challenges? And you find that in the African continent, this year, CEMEX, it was looking at harmful practices affecting children. To say, since 2013, what have we done to change these challenges that affect children, children who are victims of harmful practices in the African continent, whether it is from what we can call the initiation practices, whether we can call it, child trafficking, whether we can call it even the ill discipline of the youth of today, CEMEX, in terms of how they treat their elders. And even challenges of deficit of leadership of youth in the African continent. You know, when you look at the elections come and go in Africa, but we don't get this youthful leadership, as we know that Africa is a youthful population. You know, if you look at Africa, demographics, they tell you we're a youthful continent.
Yeah.
But we find that we're at the same time, like we are the survivors, we are the victims. So this is an important month that we will reflect on those struggles that were taken. And we have the FISMAS fall, by the way, generation of 2015, that we must always bring the context of it in the 76 struggle. We have the 94 student struggle, Sabo Mafikeng, that we must never forget. We have the massacre of 1992 in the Vaal of black-on-black violence. Children were killed, you know, CEMEX. So in short, some of us were able to drink from the well of those elders who were part of 76, Abo Brasset, Wahama Zibuko, Wako Orlando East, when I was in one storytelling, CEMEX, in the evening of June 16 at Soweto, where we said, we know that how many children died on 76. Mm. We know how many children went exile. You know, do we know how many children disappeared on that day? But how do we rediscover this youthful generation of today to say, yes, we might have made mistakes of 76, but the youth of 76 were sober like judges, CEMEX.
Yeah.
We're not boozing, we're not drinking during 76. Actually, they burned down many taverns and places of alcohol. Hence, there was a book that was banned. I will urge your listeners to check it, The Year of Fire and the Year of Ashes, The Soweto Roots of Revolution, that moved across the whole country. It never stayed in Soweto. Rebani Mokhatle used to say to me, Sipo, I call it the spiral of June 16, that after June 16, CEMEX, from the 17th until this day, there was a mobilization of youthful population.
Advocate Sipho Mantula is on Masterclass Africa. When you look at the trends and historical records from Africa throughout the world, and let's bring it to Africa. All the revolutions have been brought by young people. When they feel unsettled, when they feel isolated, when they feel they're not part of the agenda of the day, they are revolting. Now, is Africa running against a time ticking bomb where you're saying the majority of the population of the continent is young people, but they're loitering, they've got nothing to do? Are we more likely to see that? You highlighted the fees must fall, and that should have given us a light to say, in fact, young people can close the country, can close the continent on its own. The revolution of young people, are we heading there if the leadership of the day does not include youth in the agenda?
Africa, as always, the young people will say, we are not only the future leaders of tomorrow, but we are the present leaders. We learn from the past. We learn from those who came before us. I always find that the youth, they did not revolt only, but they did rebel. And they are, when they rebelled, their revolution was interpreted out of context. Because to share with your listeners this morning, I had the privilege to meet with them, what we call the Sub-Sahara British Council young people, CEMEX, 2 months ago. And when we were looking at this so-called report that say, Azania, South Africa, and some parts of SADC, there is this gross human rights violation of inequality. And when I look at them on the stats, demographics, I find that the youth are on a ticking time bomb. And I find that the youth have been coerced, they have been tempted, they have been enticed to a drug taking, they have been enticed to corruption, most of them, you know, and the youth have been enticed to this poverty cycle of saying, even if we commit crime and we are doing all this, it's because we are poor, we are hungry. We do all this in the name of poverty. And even demographics of young girls in Africa being trafficked, being molested, being raped, being the child soldiers. Why do we still have the Boko Haram Chibok girls? It makes me remember of Simpiwe Dana's song, Chibok, you know. It makes me think of Cesera Ivora when he speaks of Africa and its children. It makes me think of Mama Miriam Makeba when he thinks of a young girl child, you know. So in short, Semet, even the decolonization and Africanization of curriculum by the young people in the university, as you said, some of us we think it was interrupted. It was. One can look at it in a sense of it was interrupted, and that's why it could not have a takeoff. And we are still trying to pick up the pieces. How do we now decolonize our education? Because we see education as the key to the success of an African youth. We see education as an element that can liberate the mind of young people in the continent. But what we have seen, Semex, we see the decline. We see government budgets going down on youth development. We see young people in the arts industry, Semex, dwindling into debt, into sickness, you know, into suicide thinking. You know, when I had to recall in South Africa, recall Semex, that there was this issue of young people taking their lives in the arts industry. And it was blamed on COVID-19. Now, COVID is dwindling. Now we have the so-called monkeypox, the endemic from the epicenter of Europe. It's coming. So I think young people have complexity of issues, and I think that's what they need. In what you said, when you were opening, you were laying the carpet, they must think of the Biko mind. They must think of the Credo Mutua mind. They must think of Lumumba mind. They must think of Sankara mind. They must think of Wangari Maathai mind when they think of to say, how do we rescue Africa from this abyss of pollution?
A big question indeed. How do we rescue Africa? I mean, does Africa need rescue? And who will rescue Africa? So those are the big questions that we are asking here. My guest is Advocate Sipho Mantula, a senior researcher at the University of South Africa. Mwafrika, as we turn things around, very sad that in 2022, we still in the African continent, we are not only facing COVID-19, we are not only facing monkeypox as it come in, not hunger, not only malnutrition, but we see the case and the reemergence of the conflict between DR Congo and Rwanda. Very sad state of affairs.
Africa, very sad. Kapuwe yasizwana mo Africa watara kenta yabana bampa. Having set my foot in Villa di Goma, in Gisenyi, in North Kivu, in what it will be called Lake Kivu, the next is between your Rwanda and DRC and Uganda and Tanzania. The Lake Kivu, we call it the Pearl of Africa. As you have the Pearl of Switzerland, that one we call it the Pearl of Africa. That conflict, again, dating back even from the 60s to the 90s, the ethnic tribalism of the Hutu and Tutsi, and the emergence of what they call the movement of March 23. Now, in French acronym, they will say M23, M23. Now, that emergence, and next again, is the issues around the rebels being supported by the government of Rwanda's accusation in the Eastern DRC, and the place that is blessed, rich with the natural resources, by the way. So even if the conflict is simmering back again, you still have this fight over natural resources of the Eastern DRC that has been taking for long. So some of us, having set our foot there, having written some of our mini dissertation on the DRC, it makes our heart only not bleed, but it makes our heart fonder, so it makes our heart think further. Are we in that heart of darkness of Congo that the Belgians brought in the Congo of a war of a black man and a black woman and a black child fighting? At the same time, when you look at this conflict, we think military solution, military intervention will resolve this conflict. And we see the re-emergence of Belgium. claiming to be bringing the truth of Lumumba, as we are talking about this, seeing Rwanda hosting the Commonwealth, which I call it common poverty in my vocab, because what is Commonwealth? That it was all about extracting wealth from Africa, and we became poor, and we become common poverty, stricken colonies, and they become Commonwealth colonizers. So I see the conflict in the DRC becoming a proxy conflict, as if the colonized being attracted again by the colonizer on this conflict.
We are going for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, we continue with this conversation with Advocate Supho Mandula. You are on Channel Africa, DSTV 802 and www.channelafrica.co.za. We're coming back straight after this.
Follow Channel Africa on these social media platforms. On Facebook, Channel Africa One. On Twitter, at Channel Africa One. And YouTube on Channel Africa Radio. Our website, www.channelafrica.co.za. Channel Africa, from an African perspective.
Change is coming. Change gives us a perspective,
expands our horizon,
makes us more well-rounded, more experienced, and more fun. From the 1st of July 2022, Channel Africa will embark on a journey to redefine who we are.
All that you know and love about Channel Africa will undergo
a little makeover. A new look, Channel Africa. Come with us on a journey of rediscovery, a journey to a brand new Channel Africa. This will blow your mind and give you a Channel Africa that you have never imagined.
We are back here on Channel Africa, bringing you an African perspective. I mean, from the 1st of July, big changes coming on, but to make you better, to give you a proper perspective of what this African continent is about. So stay tuned to Channel Africa for all the amazing changes designed to take you forward in this beautiful motherland. But now we continue our conversation with Advocate Supho Mandula, a senior researcher at the University of South Africa. Mwafrika, Rwanda, one would not have imagined to see Rwanda being entangled, you know, in conflicts at this time. Because at this time, when you say Africa, Rwanda is a beacon of what this continent can become. How will this affect this? We've seen Rwanda doing very well. I mean, becoming a beam and a glimpse, an epitome of greatness in African continent. But now when it has to be entangled in conflicts, that may be negative.
Professor, that might be a negative and a very setback to what we know. That it reminds me of a book that I once read, A People Betrayed, The Role of the West in the Genocide of Rwanda. When you think of our democracy in 1994, we must always remember that the genocide of Rwanda took place between April and July, meaning even this time, there was still a massive killings of the people of the soil in Rwanda. And like when they go back, when they what we call regress, because conflicts in Africa, they never end. We always talk about they progress, they can regress. And at the same time, DRC having joined the East Africa community, we thought they would be on the same WhatsApp group. But guess what? We see this eruption of a conflict emerging with many rebel groups. If I can tell you, Sam, it's not only M23. You had sporadics of what in international law, I never used to use the word rebel groups. I used to use the word irregular armed groups. What you can call terrorist groups or liberation movements, they tend to become what we call irregular armed groups who are there to target natural resources, who are there to be in fight with the government of the day. So between Rwanda and DRC, it's a conflict that has started, like I said, since the 60s when DRC got independence. Until this day, when you think, even when you think that 6 days from now, it will be the independence of DRC, being 62 years, and they are still in this quagmire or in this bottleneck of a conflict. And this conflict, like I'll tell you, it has affected even ordinary people's necks. People cannot fly into Kigali, cannot fly into Goma or Kinshasa. So it has affected ordinary people, it has affected trade, it has affected youth-to-youth relations, as we're talking about youth. It affected what we call a transitional justice system that has to work between the two countries and to come out of those what we call post-conflict resolution processes. Because that's what we have seen. And remember, South Africa took a key role in those mediations. But you know, between South Africa and Rwanda, we are not in good terms diplomatically.
Yeah. And one thing common that I see here in Africa, I mean, about the African continent, every sitting president, literally, we can say every sitting president will have some skeletons, will have the credibility questioned. I mean, South Africa is a worst case. I mean, we know that for the past three terms or administrations, it has been the same thing. But we've seen the same thing in Botswana. You know, the former president now is in hiding here in South Africa. But it goes out throughout the continent. It's very sad. You know, every time a president comes in, the credibility, the skeletons now have to come out at this level. And the focus state resources are used to actually protect personal reputation more than serving the people.
Africa, definitely. You know, I once did an interview, or what I call the interview with Tumahole. And we were talking about, does the state capture only we can find to South Africa only? No. The state capture has been a project of the colonial master. To use the economy to pollute and defile African leaders. And as you said, we are winding up African issues. You look at the Sahel military coup that we saw, how many young military leaders took over government. And when they look at the skeleton of those elders who were in power, they find that they still had what I called allegiance to their former colonial master. And I still see that their colonial master have what I usually said next. A serious high appetite of Africa, the appetite that still brings France to Africa in the Sahel, the appetite that still brings Belgium to the DRC, the appetite that still brings UK to Rwanda and use Rwanda as a proxy for issues of migration and immigration of African and all human beings who are traveling the globe to Rwanda. So you can see that epitome of seeing how our leaders sometimes, I find them having been defiled, having been polluted, and some of them, they have even collaborated, as Mangaliso Sobukwe said. Others have collaborated with the system, and we are not in the engagement of being collaborators. We are non-collaborators in Africa. We cannot collaborate with our former colonizer. Rather, we must charge our colonizer for reparation, and that's the question that our leaders have failed. Mm-hmm. And hence, today, you still have that talk of when is the reparation coming to the African continent, when you are still a begging bowl. Why are we still going to the World Bank to borrow money when we know? Why is still West Africa going to France and borrow money when France is still having those monies of West African countries? So it's the same cycle, Sam Max. One can say the script is never changed. Maybe the ink and the font that changes.
Vision 2063 in Africa, it's coming closer. I mean, what is supposed to be an African dream? So there's not even a theme in Africa. I'm not sure, maybe you know better. You know, a theme for 2063, the African dream. Very silent. We see every leader who comes in to lead the African Union, the tone changes, you know, towards 2063. Is there much that we can expect from that?
Africa, what I can share with your listeners again, still hot from the port of Nkulu Obrima Chipe, the African Union in Agenda 63, our serious dilemma with it is that it's still a colonial structure. It's still having coloniality tentacles. It's still having coloniality features. So Agenda 63, as Haile Selassie would have said, it will be a pipe dream, you know, to be pursued but never attained, in the sense that it is still being bailed out, bankrolled by the West. So for us to say we are talking of this epidemic of the nutrition, as you were saying, if you want to talk about food security in Africa in 2023, if you want to talk about silencing of guns in Africa in the next coming 10 years, if you want to talk about Africa free trade, why are we still being a begging bowl to our former colonizer? So Agenda 2063, no matter the weather, say, next, that even the former chairperson, Dlamini Zuma, when he wrote a letter to the founding father, Nkrumah, in 2013, reminding him about 2063, to say we are heading towards 2063, we are looking at this vision and this philosophy of Agenda 2063, one Africa without no borders. Where are we heading to? But look, like I said, Max, Africa is still caged. Africa is not leading. Africa is bleeding.
Africa is bleeding. Africa, it's always a great pleasure, I mean, having these conversations with you. Every time when I come to have a conversation with you, I call it Africa 360, because I'm going to get everything that I need, the nuts and bolts of what's happening in this African continent. Thank you very much for coming to the show, as always, Mwafrika.
Asante sana, Mwafrika ra leboga. As we move in the clouds or in the waves of the sea waves, in the winds of the wind, Verma Africa, this is our month, this is our season, Festival of Soccer. The sun is in the southern. South, keep not back. Asante sana.
Advocate Sipho Mantula, senior researcher at UNISA. You can actually follow him at Real Ras Sipho on Twitter. That's where you can find him there. You are still listening to the last episode of Masterclass Africa with Mr. Max, a knowledge premier, the real number 10. We're going for a quick break, but on the other side of the break, during the week, June 21st, the Southern Hemisphere experienced the winter solstice. What does it mean and what is its significance? We are joined by a researcher of the ancient sacred sites, Edwin Chitapi, after this break. Stay with us.
For decades, Channel Africa has given you news,
lifestyle, and African culture in six different languages: French, Kiswahili, Chinyanja, Portuguese, Silozi, and English.
Over the years, we've loved our interactions.
That is why we have to grow and keep it moving. A relationship can't grow if the people cannot embrace change. And most of all, take care of each other. From the 1st of July 2021, Channel Africa will embark on a journey to redefine who we are.
All that you know and love about Channel Africa
will undergo a little makeover. Let's not be afraid to reinvent ourselves. Soon, we'll embrace these new experiences. Change is coming. Change gives us a perspective,
expands our horizons,
makes us more well-rounded, more experienced, and more fun. From the 1st of July 2022, Channel Africa will embark on a journey to redefine who we are.
All that you know and love about Channel Africa will undergo
a little makeover. A new look, Channel Africa. Come with us on a journey of rediscovery, a journey to a brand new Channel Africa. This will blow your mind and give you a Channel Africa that you have never imagined.
This is Masterclass Africa here on Channel Africa. DSTV, we are on 802 or www.channelafrica.co.za. A big week in the African continent. I mean, on June the 21st, the Southern Hemisphere experienced a winter solstice. So we take a look at its meaning and significance. Many people say it's an African Christmas, you know, where you have the shortest day of the year and the longest night because of the positioning of the sun, the most equal, the mid-year, the winter solstice year in the southern hemisphere. Now, I know there's a place, an ancient sacred site in South Africa, in Mpumalanga province. They call it Inzalo Yelanga, the birthplace of the sun. Every year, commemorations go on in that particular place to celebrate the winter solstice. People wake up very early in the morning, I think around 4 a.m., you know, to go commemorate the sun, to go meet the sun. And we're still trying to connect with a researcher on the ancient sacred sites in Africa, Edwin Chitapi, you know, to have a look at this and say, what does it mean? You know, what is it that we can take there? And African Christmas, as people say it, these are some of the things that we will be looking at with him as soon as we manage to get him on the line. Because there's a winter solstice, there's a summer solstice. But what does it mean? And what are some of the rituals, you know, that African people used to do that we still have here in the African continent? And what are what is the significance and the meaning of those rituals that happen every winter solstice in that particular place? So it's very interesting, I mean, to have such conversations. And I know that many people on the June 21st, they were still asking themselves, what is a solstice? You know, what does it mean? You know, it shows that there are some of the things that we have actually abdicated. We have not really paid attention to them. And they affect so many things that are happening around us. Global warming, the weather, in everything that we are doing. So we are having him on the line now. We're hoping that he'll be here with us to tell us what are some of the commemorations actually that happened in that particular place, you know, and what can we expect from there. He joins us on the line right now, a senior researcher on the ancient sacred sites in Africa, Edwin Chitapi. Welcome to the show.
Yes, how are you, Sir Max?
We are so blessed to have you, brother, here on the show. June 21st in Southern Africa, it was a winter solstice. And when I look at social media, people say it's the Christmas of Africa. What is actually happening on the winter solstice? And I know that you went to Inzalo Yelanga to make some commemorations. Can you expand on that?
Yes, definitely. On the 21st of June in the Southern Hemisphere, we have the winter solstice season. And in the Northern Hemisphere, we have the summer solstice. So actually, at the Stonehenge, they were actually celebrating the summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. And here we're celebrating the winter solstice. So now we were at Inzalo Yelanga on the 21st. And what an awesome sight there was, because the alignments are just awesome and astounding. The sun was actually coming out from the north-northeast. And a lot of people have never witnessed this, and they don't really know what it really means to Tunisians and Africans, they say, because this is the time of harmonious resonance with the planet, and the renewal and the healing of the spirit itself, they say. And this is a site which a lot of Africans should actually be visiting on these fourth phase of the cosmos, which is winter and summer and autumn and spring. And these are all alignments that you can actually see and witness when you are at Inzalo Yelanga, the birthplace of the sun, where Baba Credo Mutwa was actually initiated also at that particular site as a shaman and as a sanusi.
Mm. And what is the meaning of this, Brother Eddie? What is the meaning and the significance of remembering or commemorating or observing the solstice?
It is knowledge. The meaning is actually knowledge. Knowing thyself, who we are and what we are and what we will be in the future. It is actually knowledge. Because also this is a sacred site, and it was also a sacred day of alignment. And a lot of people also gather there to self-introspection, to know who you are from within, not from without. This is the gathering of knowledge. And also we know that during this season, this is the time when the deaths were forgiven. In protocol, the debts, if you owed me anything, and this was the time to actually cancel debts, and a renewal was of nature, the seasons, the cosmos was all aligned to the energy from the sun, and this is why you find a lot of visitations to such a sacred site like Inzalo Yelanga. It's not only in Inzalo Yelanga, we've got a lot of other sacred sites on our planet, and also in Southern Africa, and also in South Africa, that can actually be visited during this particular season of re-introspection.
Mm-hmm. And many people, you know, when I posted on the solstice, many people don't know what to do, you know, to match or to immerse themselves in the energies of the solstice. Are there specific rituals that you were doing there? Or maybe somebody listening to us right now, Brother Eddie, saying, okay, in the winter solstice, what do I do, you know, to connect to that massive energy happening in that particular time? What do I do? Is there a ritual that I can do, an observation that I can do to be one with that energy?
Yes, there are also many different rituals that were done, a lot of other observations that were done, but also these are different pertaining to the classes or or nature of the customs. And like, I know the poison, it's actually also did some rituals at Table Mountain. They call it the Harikwaga, which is the mountain in the sea. And they know that the Tsui or Goab, their god, their sacred god, actually roamed in the mountains of the Table Mountain. And they also do a ceremony there. So it's not only aligned to one specific ceremony. It is according to the cultural and traditions and customs of different cultural lineages that we have, which are so diverse here in Africa, in Southern Africa. Remember, this is a center, a cultural center in Africa. It is actually different customs that can do these ceremonies. So it's not only aligned to one specific person. And also, there's also some observations that you are also going to see, some scientific alignments, which you can also witness at like places like in Zalo Elanga. You can also witness a 12-minute illumination of a face in the cliff, also at Table Mountain. At Inzalo Elanga, you can see the alignment of the two center pillars, which are aligned to the solstice at 24.5 degree northern alignment in the north, where the sun actually is given birth in this specific site. So it is not only just one specific element that people are going to witness across the world. They will see different things that they will see at this ancient civilization site, and also they will feel this great energy of the sun when it stands still. Remember, solstice terrain actually means the sun stood still. This is the time that we can measure our energy, this massive energy, when the sun begins to return to the southern hemisphere. And this is why I said it brings healing to the soul. It also brings forgiveness to the entities that live on the planet, and also to the animals. It brings growth and new energy as we retrace the new consciousness that we acquire through the visitations of that sacred site.
You continue to give out the tours for people who may want to be in touch with you. You give lectures, you give tours. You know, you are an amazing, world-class researcher. How do people get in touch with you?
Yes, people can get in touch with me on 076-306-9034. They can also get me on chitapiedwin@gmail.com. And we are having the 22nd of September. And another phenomenon that is just coming out at Inzalo Elanga, very magnificent. When we go to the equinox, and this equinox is also significant when we have the double session, when you see the sunrise and also the sunset being aligned to the Orion Belt on the same structure, which is Inzalo Elanga. It's very fascinating to see. And people should actually visit this site. And I will give a very good explanation why we should actually be in self-introspection and why we should honor the knowledge of the past and actually invite it into the future of who we are as a being and also as Africans. As
okay. Edwin Chitapi, thank you very much for coming to the show.
Thank you very much, Max. Enjoy your day.
Edwin Chitapi is a world-class researcher on the ancient sacred sites, talking to us about the winter solstice that happened and also looking forward to the equinox that will be upon us as this great continent. It's been a great honor, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we started this show with Advocate Sipho Mantula wrapping up the Youth Month and taking a bird's eye view on the plight of young people in the African continent. This was the last episode of Masterclass Africa, a journey that has lasted 3 years. It has been 3 years, you know, doing this. And in the past 3 years, I've had so much honor, you know, to interact and to have a conversation with various people across the length and breadth of the motherland, the African continent, or whom I've learned so much from. You know, they have enriched and filled my cup of knowledge and my curiosity as a seeker and as a wanderer. I have certainly gained so much, and I want to thank all the managers, you know, at the station, past and present, at SABC Channel Africa. It's been an amazing thing. I mean, my colleagues, all of them, you know, throughout the continent, even those that we've never met, because we are throughout the continent. I mean, in Congo, everywhere, in Cameroon. I want to thank them, the producers and everyone, but most importantly, the listeners of Channel Africa. But be on a lookout, because the station is reshaping, and some amazing, exciting changes are actually coming from the 1st of July. All the technical producers, I mean, that have actually made sure that we connect and we make sure that it becomes an amazing thing. And I think a special mention, Ms. Zibu Siala, and amazing that every week we connected, we made sure that the content goes in line with what the station wants to do. It's been an amazing honor. The station is on at Channel Africa One. Go to our website, www.channelafrica.co.za. A plethora of a podcast will be there. My technical producers today in Johannesburg, Wiseman Mangele, in Mahikeng, Sello Mulelekeng. I am Sam X. Kamago.
It's 8:45 Central African Time here on Channel Africa with your economics news. I'm Jolani Tulo. Chinese President Xi Jinping has warned at the BRICS forum that developed countries should not politicize the global economy and turn it into what he says are their tools or weapons. It comes as the West tightens sanctions on Russia after Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Russia invaded Ukraine 4 months ago, saying it wanted to denazify and demilitarize the country. Ukraine had expressed interest in joining the EU and NATO. Xi Jinping says imposing of sanctions on other countries by using dominant positions of international financial and monetary bodies must be stopped.
We must improve macro policy coordination, keep industrial and supply chains secure and unclogged, build an open world economy, diffuse the major risks and challenges to global development, and strive for more inclusive and resilient economic growth. We must promote sustainable development. We must be guided by a people-centered approach and allocate more resources to poverty reduction, food production, education, and health.
Nike has announced plans to leave Russia permanently, becoming the latest Western brand to quit the country since the invasion of Ukraine in February. The U.S. sportswear giant halted online orders and closed the stores it owned in the country in March. Shops run by local partners continue to operate, but the firm is winding down those agreements. South Africa's government and national airline are being sued by a little-known investment firm which wants the sale of a majority stake in the carrier scrapped and rerun due to a lack of transparency. According to documents filed at the High Court in South Africa in the Western Cape province by Toto Investment Holdings, this year's acquisition of 51% of South African Airways by the Takatso Consortium, made up of a local jet leasing company and a private equity firm, was unlawful and constitutionally invalid. SAA has received notice of the Toto lawsuit, and the Department of Public Enterprises will respond. The filing is the first legal action against the sale. Ghana's lawmakers have approved a plan to investigate how funds worth $1.5 billion were spent in the fight against COVID-19. It follows alleged discrepancies in receipts and payments presented to MPs by Finance Minister Ken Ofori-Atta. Opposition MPs said the minister had failed to give a convincing explanation when he appeared before Parliament on Wednesday. His figures contradicted earlier ones presented by President Nana Akufo-Addo during a State of the Nation address. And finally, President of the African Development Bank, Akinwumi Adesina, says Africa must wean itself off dependence on food and medicine imports. This comes as the institution approved creation of a pharmaceutical tech foundation and began processing requests for food relief. Africa was hit hard by the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. The bank last month approved a $1.5 billion financing facility for emergency food production with the aim of averting a looming food crisis. The funds are meant to help 20 million farmers produce 38 million tons of food. Adesina said the bank had already received requests from countries to draw on the fund. Many countries are still struggling to rebound. They are facing rising inflation and food shortages aggravated by the war in Ukraine. We're now taking a look at the financial indicators. One US dollar is trading at 414.61. Nigerian naira 1207. Botswana pula 116.74. Kenyan shilling and at 16.97 to the Zambian kwacha. In BRICS currencies, a dollar is trading at 520 Brazilian hui, 53.21 Russian ruble, 77.97 Indian rupees, 670 Chinese yuan, and at 50.92 to the South African rand. The US dollar is trading at 95 cents to the euro, 82 pence to the British pound. Onto the commodities market, gold is trading at $1,825, platinum at $914 per ounce, while Brent crude oil was last trading at $109.75 a barrel. Figile Lingwati standing by for the sports news next. For Channel Africa, I'm Cholani Tulo.
First up in our sports update, we begin with athletics, marathon and Olympics. South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, SASCOC CEO Nozi Pochafta says they are looking at preparing their athletes for the upcoming Olympic Games. Chafta has more on the OPEX program that they want to introduce.
Look, we're talking to different partners about OPEX. OPEX is a big program. We need a lot of money to relaunch OPEX. Yes, there are partners that we're already talking to that have shown interest, that we are in the final negotiation stage. So we will announce when the time is right. But yes, we are talking to different people to support us. It's a very important program to have, especially for our athletes, because that's where we really see the real development of athletes. As we prepare them for these multi-coded games, we know that we're going to Paris in 2024, 2028 is LA. So for us, 2028 is important because we're just close to 2024. So there's only so much you can do in a year with your athletes. But for us, it's really just developing them now.
Rwanda's football ruling body, FERWAFA, have up to the 31st of July to submit the names of the clubs that will participate in the 2022-2023 CAF Champions League as well as Confederations Cup to the Confederations of African Football. CAF said in a communique to all its member associations that submissions of names of clubs which will compete in Africa has been opened, with the closure and the date being the 31st of July. Rwanda Premier League champions APR will represent the country in the CAF Champions League, and FERWAFA will wait for the winner of the Peace Cup final to determine who will represent the country in the Confederations Cup. The Momentum Proteas wrapped up an important phase of their preparation for next week's hugely anticipated once-off test match against England. They have drawn a three-day warm-up encounter with the England A side at the Arundale Cricket Club in West Sussex. South African captain Sunei Luz contributed with a measured 50 not out of 100 deliveries. Proteas coach Hilton Moreng is delighted with the batters.
First, if you speak about the betting, how our batters have set up the innings, the patient that they applied and the application is something that wasn't there in the first two preparation matches that we had. And we're very happy to see it now, especially at the back of white ball cricket and such a short turnaround time. And the application we've seen from the batters has shown that the improvement is there. I think it's one of those real getting into the test match now. We can say now most of our batters had a time in the middle to be able to understand what is required and be able to take it deep. But as far as the team, what we've seen so far in the last 2 days in the three-day game, they've bowled exceptionally well.
Zimbabwe Cricket ZC say they are almost through with their preparations to host a perfect tournament ahead of the ICC Men's T20 World Cup Global Qualifier B scheduled for Bulawayo next month. The Cricket Jamboree is set to bring together 8 teams from around the globe vying for the remaining 2 slots for this year's ICC T20 World Cup Finals to be held in Australia. ZC Managing Director Givemo Magoni confirmed that the games will be staged at Queen's Sports Club and Bulawayo Athletics Club between the 11th to the 17th of July. And finally, with boxing news, former 2-division world champion South African boxer Zolani Tete feels sharing the stage with British heavyweight hopeful Joe Joyce will amplify his chances of proving he still has what it takes to win yet another world title. Tete has been preparing his upcoming fight on the 2nd of July in London, UK, training in public. South African pugilist Zulani Tete.
Having this public workout has been a blessing in disguise for me. And I believe it's one of its kind. This is the first time ever a public workout has been once held in a mall where everyone can see what a boxer is doing preparing for this fight. I'm ready for this fight, and going to this fight, I know it's an opportunity for me again to become a world champion. So this time around, I'm going for two titles, the IBF International and the Commonwealth World title. So I'm ready for the fight, and I believe on the 2nd of July, Zulani will be victorious, bringing back two titles at home, and I'm looking forward to capture another two titles after this fight.
That's your sport news this hour.